All right, the title of this is The Seduction of the World. And so what is meant by the word seduction? It means to lead away. I've got several definitions that came from several sources. To persuade to disobedience or disloyalty, to confuse, to cause to stagger, to cause to have completely wrong views, confusion through lack of wisdom. So why talk this? Well, the reason is the Bible's full of warnings. And so I'm just bringing out a few. There's so much more that can be brought out, but we just don't have time to cover the whole topic as much as just touch on it. In Ephesians 4:14, the previous verses above that were talking about the fivefold ministry, equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. And it says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is ahead, even Christ. So Paul knew that there's a possibility of us being in a place where we can just be tossed to and fro with doctrines, with men's craftiness and the sly things that they would try to do. And he said that the fivefold ministry was to equip them. Well, they do that through the Word of God, through the principles of God. But there's these winds of doctrine that blow through. And I've seen many of them in the 50 years I've been saved. Some of them have funny names about Christians being demon-possessed, pigs in the parlor, all kinds of crazy things, but they don't line up with the Word of God. In Revelation 12:9, it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast with him." Satan, I just brought that out to show that Satan is a deceiver. It was mentioned earlier, Ted mentioned it earlier. He just wants to steal, kill, and destroy. In 2 Thessalonians 2:8, "The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish," now this part is important, "they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness." He's saying, I'm giving you the truth, I'm giving you the truth. You choose not to believe it, you'd rather believe a lie. He says, okay, so I'll just let all kinds of lies. You want to believe that stuff? There it is. And they perish because they did not believe the truth. Again, there's signs and wonders. So we've got winds of doctrine. We've got counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. In 1 Timothy 4, the Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times, some shall depart from the faith. That's not in the blessing promise box. But it's true. Well, why do they depart from the faith? "Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer." Even in today's society, we have Christians who have many varying beliefs. There are some doctrines about what Christians should eat, what Christians shouldn't eat. I take the Bible view. He gave it. Bless it. Oh, man, I can enjoy it. It's sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. Everything is okay. If your heart is in a place where you say, oh, I can't do that, don't violate your conscience. It's that simple. But to establish a doctrine that, okay, everybody has to be this way, that's where it gets weird. And I'm telling you, in the world, we have weird brothers and sisters. We have crazy uncles. And some of them are right here in this room. The thing is, we need to look at the Word of God and allow that to be our standard. Because there's a movement to try and get confusion through lack of wisdom, give us wrong views, persuade us to disobedience or disloyalty. In Mark 13:22, it says, "For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." Are those some pretty strong warnings in Scripture?
Yes.
And some of the ways that Satan does it. In the book of 1 John, it says he uses the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And also you can see from history in Genesis, he used deception and distortion, saying, oh, if you eat of that tree, you'll be okay. You'll know everything. He uses doubt. In Proverbs, talks about the woman whose husband is gone, and she sees a young man out on the street, and she uses fair speech and flattery to seduce him. Well, that's an imagery of Satan also trying to woo us. Uses flattery, fair speech, uses lies, uses exaggeration. All those things come up in the winds of doctrine that are blowing through that we need to be able to see. Now, I never use props, but I made this for my wife and I figured I pounded all those nails in there. I'm going to use it twice. Okay. Does Satan come along? Let me get this lined up here. He doesn't come along and say, now that's our brain. Say, hey, I'm the devil, and you can trust me. Oh, we see through that one immediately. No, I'm not trusting the devil. I'm not going to be persuaded by him. I didn't glue them in for packing sake. So he doesn't come in with a single lie saying, this is me, just trust me. He comes in with winds of doctrine, with false miracles. And he begins to work. Comes through the back door, lies and deception. So when he comes in with all the lies, guess what he's doing? Oh, wait, my brain's being influenced. I didn't see through it.
Sure.
Unless he presses just quite hard enough. But we get influenced by the commercials on TV. We get influenced by the people around us, we get influenced by the philosophies of the world.
Sure.
multiple things. So he doesn't just come in with one thing. He's hitting us with a barrage of stuff. And we tend to think, oh, that's not too bad. That's not too bad. But we need to see clearly. So in what ways, I've just got a few examples on how this is taking place. In 1 Corinthians 15, 32. If I fought with wild animals in Ephesus only with human hopes, I've gained nothing. If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, because tomorrow we'll die. Do not be fooled. Bad friends will ruin good habits. Evil communications corrupt good manners, King James. Come back to your right way of thinking and stop sinning. Some of you do not know God. I say this to shame you. Now he is talking to a church. And he's saying, some of you don't know God. And if you're saying there's no resurrection of Jesus Christ, let's just party and die. He said, but that type of communication is going to distort you and turn you away. So don't hang around with that type of thinking. Peer pressure. The kids in school aren't the only ones facing peer pressure. In John 7, 46, 7, the previous verse, the Pharisee, the leadership says, because they had sent Jesus, or sent their soldiers out to get Jesus and bring him back. And they come back, and Jesus isn't with them. And they go, why haven't you brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. We've never heard anybody like this. Then answered them the Pharisees, are you also deceived? So here's the highly intellectual, the leadership, putting peer pressure on these soldiers who actually were getting a glimpse of the truth. They're like, we've never heard anybody talk like this. And they're promoting peer pressure, saying, look, are you deceived? That peer pressure was pretty heavy. John 9, 22, Jesus had healed the blind man. And they asked the parents, say, who did this? They said, well, he's of age, ask him. And his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he's of age, ask him. At work, don't give me that Jesus stuff. Don't want to hear that garbage. And they push it along to other people, and they kind of push on you, like you start feeling like I'm the weirdo. You're not the weirdo. If you have Jesus and you're sharing because of the love of Jesus, they're the weirdo. And you can't allow that peer pressure to make you feel less than what Jesus has made you. This is not on the notes up there. In John 12, there's a point where many of the leaders believed in Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they wouldn't confess their faith for fear they'd be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise from men more than praise from God. Peer pressure. Conforming to others. There might be some of that that would affect me personally. I don't know, but I'm kind of a rebel in heart that God is still working out. That you push a little bit and I push back right there. I'm coming right back. And I don't really care. I'll try and say it kindly. I'll try and say it biblically. But I want to stand my ground. Because once you start heading back the other way, it's so much harder to just gain that ground back. And then even in when Jesus was before Pilate, the chief priests moved the people to release Barabbas, and Pilate, willing to content the people. The people felt peer pressure. Pilate felt peer pressure, and they responded wrongly. We need to just be aware that these influences are coming into our lives to cause us to move wrongly. It's affected our belief systems. We've got the LGBTQ plus, non-binary, sex change, even for kids, the philosophies of this world are coming in. In Exodus 23:2, and I picked out some of these verses from different translations because they say that same truth, but they say it very simply. It says, "Do not be moved to do wrong by the general opinion or give the support of your words to a wrong decision." So what do you do when you're the only one that feels you should go that way and everybody else is saying, no? Do you speak up? Or are you moved by the peer pressure? There's something that will cause you to do one or the other, and we'll get to that. The media and others will label you a homophobe, intolerant, out of touch. And homosexuality is even being considered by some to be biologically based by an orientation programmed into the brain before birth based on a mixture of genetics and prenatal conditions, none of which the fetus chooses. Bible has a simple answer. It says it's sin. So what do we stand for? I have a verse later that shows where our hearts should be as we're doing that, but we need to see and believe and not be swayed by the winds of doctrine. For the sake of time, I'm not going to look at Romans 1:21. They've got that up there, 21 through 29. Basically, it's talking about because they did not want to receive the truth, did not glorify God, God gave them over to a sinful heart to do the things with one another that they were not created to do. The sinful desires of their hearts, sexual impurity. So, and yes, you will find people who will argue this point. So you can't just have one verse in your understanding, in your arsenal. If you have been confronted about it with others, then you need to find from the Word of God. I'm going to put another plug in for our archives. We have teaching on tons of topics. If you're just learning to study and you say, well, I don't even have study tool, I don't even know what I should do, there are things in the archives, everything from basic doctrines to theology. And it's free. All you need is computer or your phone. Of course, I don't do much of either, so I'm just encouraging you to, because most people are not like me. I'm a dinosaur, and I like being that way. Again, in the philosophical or ideological ways that we're being affected, alcoholics, they call it a sickness or a disease. Biblically, they were called drunkards, addicted to drink, and it's biblically sin and a consequence of continued sin. You say, oh, but wait, they've got proof that, you know, the children of alcoholics might have more of a tendency. They might have more of a tendency. But does the Bible say that the truth will set you free?
Come on.
If it wasn't for Jesus, I would be a drunkard today. Well, if I was still alive. And my brains would have been eaten up from huffing glue and the other things I was addicted to. But Jesus set me free. And it's the truth that will set you free. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, it says, Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. If it's a disease, then God's not fair. Because he said they won't go into heaven. He's talking about those who continue to reject the truth and believe a lie. I'm kind of watching the time. We got started a little bit late, but I'm trying to get you out of here. Reasonable time. Child raising and discipline. Thank you, Dr. Spock. One angry commenter said that kids were spocked when they should have been spanked. He was criticized by conservatives for propagating permissiveness and an expectation of instant gratification. After undergoing a self-described conversion to socialism, he became an activist in the New Left, etc. Obviously, his book might contain some good truths, but how many deceptive truths are there? That's the thing about weird doctrine, weird lies. There can be truth with deception. Oh, you can have this drink. It's just got a little cyanide in it. No, thank you. No, thank you. So, one last point. Just, we've got wolves in sheep's clothing. We've got Christian authors writing about topics that tickle people's ears and feelings. Some of them describe the love of God in a twisted way. I don't know what to tell you on that other than that in the book of John, 1 John, it says that the anointing teaches us that if you're reading a bunch of authors and people that you're not aware of, you need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit speaking to you, when to spit out the bones and enjoy the meat. Some people can do that. Man, they can go through that thing, bone, bone, bone. Oh, this is good, bone, bone. I get going in a book and it's got bone, bone, bone. I go, bone. I have a hard time with that. I don't do a lot of outside reading. Other people do. Each of us has a grace and a gift and a position where we feel comfortable in our hearts. Sure. So what should we be doing? Now this is the point where I'm going to step on people's toes. So I got you laughing with me now. That's what they say, get them to smile, you can bust them in the chops without splitting their lips. Titus 3, Remind the people to be subject to rulers, authorities, to be obedient, be ready to do whatever is good, slander no one, be peaceable, considerate, to show true humility toward all men. Remember I talked about how we deal with people that believe differently from us, or some of our weird brothers, some of unsaved people that go to church that think they understand. There's some attitudes there, true humility, peaceable, considerate. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We do not hate homosexuals. They are trapped in sin just as bad as any fornicator, as any drunkard, as any covetous person. Because scriptures say none of those guys are going to make it. So we don't have an attitude toward them. Some of us were just like that. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what's good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. You need to know the truth in order to stand up against the foolish ideas. Don't raise your hands, but how many people research the best phone deals, the best contracts, the best insurance, the best way to invest your money? Is this latest gizmo going to work for me? And you look it up. But are we investing in knowing the Word of God? Individually. So I'm going to step on, if I don't step on your toes, then you had them out of the way. That's fine. But if I step on your toes, maybe you need it. You cannot just live life and say, well, I go to a church that believes that. What do you believe? You individually. Because the church isn't going to be there when you're at work and you're hammered into this position and you end up being like Peter saying, I don't know him. Why? Because it wasn't rooted in your heart. That's one of the things that allows me to stand my ground. Because I've spent time in the Word of God. Yeah, I've had a few more years than a lot of you to do that. But I'm nothing special, believe you me. I know my life. I know who I am. It's the grace of God and the Word of God that have preserved me for all these years. Because I've had ups and downs. But somehow, keep ending up facing the right direction. Because of the Word of God. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. For those who are taking notes, this is a personal comment here. I know this is a blessing for people. But I miss the times when people had their Bibles and you could hear the pages rustle and see them looking it up. Because I like going on bunny trails. When somebody's sharing a scripture and I'm looking at it, that's why I use my computer. Because Kirk will say, well, this Greek definition is this. Well, then I'm looking at other things, and because the Holy Spirit might be speaking to me to go on a bunny trail. I like it. But when you don't have a Bible or anything in front of you, that's all you're getting. Like I said, I'm a dinosaur. I'm old school. So I might be your crazy uncle. You got to put up with me because the Bible says so. In Acts 17, that's not up there. The Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. And then many of the Jews believed, and also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. Examined them to be able to make a judgment based on careful and detailed information. See, if you don't take notes and all you're seeing is the verses pop up one at a time, how much of what you're hearing is being retained in your heart? How many of us can take doctrinal issues, basic foundations, and teach them to people? We should be able to. Because when we have those in our heart, we will be a strong body of believers who know what they believe, why they believe it, and able to express it to others. Wrapping up. So if you have problems and you feel like, well, man, I don't know. I think I've been sidetracked. Matthew 18:12 says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them's gone astray, doesn't he leave a 99? He's talking about Jesus. Okay, so you've gotten out on a bunny trail, off the ancient paths, and you're in the briars. You just come to him and say, Jesus. Because he's already out there looking for you. He's calling your name. He's trying to get you back. Say, okay, Lord, help me to just see this. He's a loving God. He understands we're facing these things, and some of us are children and some are mature, and there's things that creep in and out. That's why we need to look out for one another. That's why we need to minister and encourage and exhort one another. That's the thing we don't see happening as much as when I was a younger Christian. When somebody was having problems, somebody else would go up and say, hey, you know, this is what the scripture says. And people responded. Nowadays, it's like, you offend me. Don't talk to me. What gives you that right? That is a deception from the world. I'm an American. You can't tell me what to do. I'm a Christian. I should be open to rebuke and correction if I need it. I should be willing to lovingly give it if it's needed. All right, so last scripture verse, 2 Timothy 3:12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Put that in your blessing cards. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you've learned. That word learned, one of the definitions I found it means to learn with a moral bearing and responsibility. The Word of God does something, gives you a compass. You've learned it, and you firmly believe, knowing from who you learned it and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness. The scripture says that the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work. You need to put yourself in there, that you may be competent. Because the Word of God will do that for you. It will strengthen you. It will change you. After I got done the second chapter of Colossians, the whole chapter, if you read it in context, just really speaks about these same things, about man's philosophies. But verse 8, this is from the Bible in basic English. Take care that no one takes you away by force through man's wisdom and deceit, going after the beliefs of men and the theories of the world and not after Christ. We've got stuff influencing, changing our thinking. We need to see it clearly and not let Satan influence us through weird stuff. Amen. If you'll stand with me, we'll pray. And then also, Sandra felt that she would like to come up and minister to, I forget the wording. Anyone looking for restoration. So please stand. We'll pray and you'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, you're a loving God. And you teach us. You're the instructor. Father, I pray for people here that young Christians would be like babes desiring the sincere milk of your word. And that for older Christians that they wouldn't be satisfied, but they would continue hungering and thirsting and desiring to have the strength of your word flowing through their lives, giving them stability of heart, insight into the deceptions that are blowing across this world today. Father, just speak to us and encourage us in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.